I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I would point your attention back again to just the first two verses of the gospel lesson from St. Matthew. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." The gospel. This is a magical time of the year. You hear it referenced that way, probably starting all the way back at Thanksgiving time. The holiday season with its lights, its gifts, its displays. There are moments throughout where even the oldest among us at times can act like and look like a child. It's a magical time. I remember in the neighborhood in which I grew up, there was a nearby busy street, and on one of the blocks, corner house with a corner window, there was a couple nearing retirement that lived there, and the man of the house was an expert responsible for the major seasonal displays of a nationwide retailer. Won't name them, but they used to have a really tall building in the middle of downtown Chicago. He happened to have a 1960s vintage animated Santa Claus, full size. He figured out how to position that Santa Claus in the corner window of their house that you could see from multiple streets and have Santa routinely pull back the curtains to look out to see if anybody could see him putting the gifts under the tree. It was amazing. It was magical. I guarantee you, it wasn't just my family from that neighborhood that had children pleading with mom and dad to drive that way often, especially after dark, even if we didn't really need to go that way, just to see that display. It's a magical time of the year. In fact, there's another element of that magical feeling that we get. It has to do with lights, has to do with music as well. Candlelight in particular. It happened already earlier this evening. It'll happen again before this service is over. All the lights descend to darkness, and there's only candlelight in this room, and someone, moved by that moment, maybe experiencing it for the very first time, will let out an audible gasp, and everybody else will hear it, recognizing this is a magical time of the year where we do special things that really focus on light, and particularly Jesus being the light of the world, bringing salvation to all the people of the world, especially the Gentiles. Now, I can't say that if I was to see exactly the same display 50 years later, that the 7-year-old me would be all that impressed. Probably would shrug my shoulders and say, yeah, it's not as good as I remembered, and really can see all the challenges of how to make those things work. And I've been to a lot of candlelight services over the years, so I doubt I'll be the one gasping when the lights go down later and only candlelight and the tree lights are providing us the light we need to finish out our worship service. But it's still a magical time. I'm one of those people that doesn't like to watch those shows on TV where the magicians actually take you behind the scenes and show you how they pull off their magic tricks. And one of the reasons I don't like to watch that is I'm cynical by nature. So if you show me too much of that, every magical trick I will see from that point forward, I'll only be focusing on how they did it and trying to figure it out rather than just enjoying the presentation, which is intended to amaze me, make my jaw drop, entertain. Have you ever thought about the word magi? Have you ever made the connection between that ancient word magi and the modern word magician? There's actually a connection. It's the root word in the ancient language for what we now refer to as those who, with sleight of hand or with much bigger props and ideas, wow us, dazzle us, make us stop and gasp and wonder, how in the world did they do that? But as you contemplate who these people might be and where they might be from, I mean, you get a little hint in the choice of the Old Testament lesson from the Book of the Kings that some people believe it may actually be from that area that we think was somewhere in northern Africa called Sheba, that maybe these travelers were from. Others tend to believe that maybe they were somewhat more Middle Eastern and farther north from maybe the area of Babylon, where the Israelites had been held captive for some years. We don't know exactly where they came from. And we're not told they came from the east, but rather they saw the star initially in the east when it rose. Whatever we don't know about them, we do know enough about this category of people. The original language actually presents them as great ones. But that terminology, magi, was really a class of people. They were very intelligent. They were very inquisitive and perceptive and scholastic, you could say, in their pursuits of knowledge of everything they could possibly know something about. They were fascinated with the world of the moment, and they were all about knowing everything they possibly could about human life, the way we live it, the universe around us, so including the heavens, the stars that they studied. And so it wouldn't surprise you to find that amongst this group of people that had this title in the ancient world were many who were advisors to kings and princes and world leaders, people of importance, helping them understand people better, the world better, circumstances better. But it also shouldn't surprise you that there were those amongst the magi, the magicians of the day, who had accumulated wealth, authority, power, influence, all kinds of other things, that they didn't always use that accumulation of power for good things. They were known to also use their knowledge to take advantage of other people, maybe cause a little awe with their magic in a way that had you loosening your grip on your money bag or on your dearly beloved spouse or who knows what. The reality was people knew that they needed to be respected, the magi. They needed to be accounted for, and you needed to be careful around them. But they could wow you for sure. There's another element to it that I neglected to mention. That would be the dark arts. Those who were considered the magi, the great ones of the ancient past, in their pursuit of knowing all things about everything, it was not beyond them to not be too concerned about the morality of seeking power from any source and knowledge about anything that took them in directions that were far more than just a little sketchy, that allowed them to have connections to power that you and I would consider to be evil, power that you and I would consider to be absolutely immoral in regard to a number of the commandments and superstition and witchcraft and all kinds of other things. So the combination of who these great ones, these magical magi was an interesting choice, wouldn't it be? Almost as interesting and challenging as the shepherds being the ones who were the first to hear the news of the Savior being born in Jerusalem. In Bethlehem. It was the Magi that arrived at Jerusalem seeking to go to Bethlehem. That they arrive at Jerusalem and reveal some things in what they have to say about what they understood this journey was all about. These magicians, these magi, came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Think that through. Would you suspect that people of this wealth, of this circumstance, of this power and influence in the worldwide culture, who also were known to be a little slippery and devious and even at times malevolent with the knowledge that they had, would be the ones seeking the King of the Jews? So think that through. Their understanding, all the way back to David, all the way back to Solomon, the world-renowned dynasty of Israel, now hundreds of years later. But not just a king, not just a baby who would someday potentially rule the nation of the Hebrews, but check out the other word used here. The purpose for their searching for this king: we have come to worship him. Not venerate, not honor the way you might a king or the most important guru you could possibly find. No. The words used in this account are reserved for God, a God, the God. How did they know? How did they learn the Old Testament scriptures that hundreds of years earlier, through Moses, were written regarding a star rising out of Jacob and a scepter rising out of Israel? How did they know that in their study of the heavenly realms, a brand new star they had never seen before signaled this moment when they needed to drop everything, absolutely everything they were doing, pursuing, wanting, and head west to find a baby? A baby to whom they would give amazing gifts of wealth and honor. But in those gifts would also predict the outcome of his life. And even the needs of his immediate life. You can only imagine how handy it was for that gift of gold to be in Joseph's possession when they, in their turn, had to run for it to Egypt to escape Herod in the days ahead. The magicians of the day, those who could get the advantage, own that advantage, and use that advantage to their benefit in regard to wealth and power and influence over others, even governments, were among those who followed a star, who dropped absolutely everything and spent whatever was necessary. When you read other prophecies, when you read other portions of the Old Testament that are easily pointed to as descriptive prophecies of the events surrounding Bethlehem on this day, you get the impression that the hillsides were covered with the flocks and the herds and likely the security detail and the servants of these great ones. What a stunning thing it is to think how the magic of the gospel would attract, would amaze, would result in a pursuit of knowledge and faith and salvation even amongst people like this. And by the end of the encounter, God is inspiring a revelation to them. The true eternal salvation God is making sure they understand that it's time to hightail it home, away from Herod, by a different route. What does that tell us? It reminds us so vividly, so clearly, what God was doing in this moment. That the smartest people in the world, but also the most worldly, the most able to use their knowledge and their wealth for their own purposes, when they saw that star, and in the back of their minds were reminded of things they had learned from the Hebrew Scriptures, however they had come to know in their pursuit of knowledge those truths, had them seeking out one to worship, one that they understood to be their Savior too. He's the King of the Jews. They understood that. But one to be worshiped as God and Savior and Lord by everyone, no matter what their background, no matter what their ethnicity or color of skin or slant of eye or dialect of tongue, any and every citizen of this earth who had ever lived to that moment, who ever lived since, could join this pursuit, could join this amazement at the miraculous gospel magic that God was working. And at the center of it all, the eternal Creator God becoming a human like one of us, wrapping all of His glory and power and wisdom and wealth as God in the form of a tiny little baby. For the purpose of that baby growing into a perfectly obedient adult who would be so obedient to his father that he would offer himself on the altar of the cross for the sins of the world. I find it hard to imagine that people who would put this kind of effort, this kind of investment, this kind of time, placing themselves in jeopardy on this journey, would stop here and would not, throughout the rest of their lives, pursue a deeper knowledge, updates from time to time, so to speak, on all that this baby grew up to be and do, to pursue a better knowledge of Him. Pursue a better, deeper, more complete knowledge of the word he proclaimed when he became the age of majority and had the ability to tell the world what was on his mind and heart, what his agenda was, and what God's definition of salvation through this baby would all be about. I can't imagine. They didn't want to know the Father better. That they didn't want to know what Jesus meant when he said that he would send a Holy Spirit as a counseling guide to remind his early disciples of everything he had ever said and done, that they might proclaim the full and complete forgiveness of sins to a world needing to know it through a baby grown a man who was willing to offer it, to make us right and righteous with our God, eternally welcome in his presence. Yes, this time of the year is simply stunning in its magical realities. But at the heart of that magic, at the heart of that amazement has to be this simple reality that our God would love us so much despite our sins, despite our brokenness and the just putrid realities of the world that we've made for ourselves as a human race, that he would still commit to and carry out promises and prophecies and plans that would result in his death for our sins, his resurrection for our eternal life. Learn a lesson from these magi, these magicians, these great ones. Follow their lead. When you see the baby Jesus and understand why he has arrived here among us, worship him, praise him. And when he speaks to you through his word and calls you to know him better, to understand all that he wants you to know about him and his Father and his guiding spirit, dive deep into that word and know it better today and tomorrow and the day after that than you've ever known it before in your life. For it is worth more than anything else you could ever possess. It is worth the sacrifice of anything you might need to place in jeopardy to know it better, to live it more fully, to understand its application not only to your eternal life with God forever, but to your living this journey of this life until that moment when you join him in that eternity. Join them in being in absolute awe of the magic of the gospel. They had to wonder how it could be that God would even include them, far away foreigners who had been told for generations that they were not the chosen special people of God, but now we're being told they were included in this amazing plan, this grace, this gospel magic. Stand with them. Be dazzled, be stunned, be amazed that once again in this amazing moment, as you stand beneath a brilliant star and you watch great ones, magi, open their gifts and offer themselves completely in worship, physically and spiritually, to their baby Savior King, that you join them and give him your best. Give him your all. Give him yourself. Because of who he is, all that he's done, and the fact that his gospel magic has not just amazed you, but has included you forever. Amen.